Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. I just would love to remind you that we're still studying our commentaries to Quran chapter 17. As we arrive to the point where Allah was speaking to Muhammad about the request of the infidels, the Jews and the Christians, the idol worshippers in Muhammad's days, for Muhammad to perform for them a miracle. Previously, we talked about the lies which Muslims are spreading all over the West, considering Muhammad performing so many great miracles. As a matter of fact, if you go online and do a search concerning the miracles which Muhammad performed, it will be in the thousands. No kidding. In the thousands. But all these are just simply fabrication. And the proof of that is that which is written in the Quran. We do not see any evidence in the Quran that Muhammad ever performed a miracle. Even when we look at some of the verses of the Quran, which Muslims would like to use to say, here it is, a miracle. Muhammad performed a great miracle. We realize that these miracles, no one saw it except Muhammad. So I do not know what is the purpose for Muhammad to perform a miracle when no one seen it. The good example of that is what we discovered at the beginning of our study to Quran chapter 17. That is verse 1, when Allah stated there, praise be to him who took his servant by night from the forbidden mosque to the farthest mosque, whom we have blessed that which surrounds him, that we might show him some of our signs. Surely he is the hearing, the seeing. Notice, that verse is talking about someone we do not know who he is, was taken from some near mosque to another further mosque, and Allah did that to that servant so that Allah showed that servant some of Allah's signs. But wait a minute, we're talking about the people in Muhammad days wanted to see some signs performed by Muhammad. If that is the case of the fabricated story of Muslims that it was Muhammad taken from some mosque in Mecca to another mosque in Jerusalem. As we discovered in our briefest broadcast that there was no mosque built anywhere in Jerusalem. Even the Temple of Solomon had already been destroyed a good 500 years earlier. So I do not know how can we make this verse fit Muhammad when there is no historical or archaeological evidence of it. Add to that, the verse does not say anything about Muhammad being ascended to the seven heavens, as Muslims continue to add more fabrication to their interpretation to make it two miracles. Number one, Muhammad was taken from Mecca to Jerusalem in a blink of an eye, and then he was taken from Jerusalem to the seven heavens back to earth, and his bed was still warm, which means the whole story is just simply a dream or a fabrication by those so-called Muslim scholars. Now, when we examine the Quran, we realize that when people ask Muhammad to perform a sign or a miracle to prove to them that he is a prophet from Allah, the answer was always given by Allah in the Quran that he will not do that. Why? Because Allah sent previous messengers with signs and miracles, and people did not believe in it anyway. So what was the purpose of Allah to repeat the same miracles or signs which his early messengers or prophets performed for their people through Muhammad to his people when the previous ones did not believe in such miracles? Obviously, we found that to be a very weak argument. Why? Because we saw that many of the early prophets who came before Muhammad performed miracles and many people believed in them. And when the people of Muhammad were asking him to perform a miracle, it was not that they are asking him to perform a miracle by his own strengths or by his own power, but simply they were begging for a miracle that through it they may know for sure that he is a prophet or a messenger. Today, we'll move on in our study to look at Moses' miracles, not in the Bible, but in the Quran, to see if the claim given by Allah in the Quran that prophets before Muhammad performed miracles and nobody believed in them is true or not. So now let us look together at a few of these verses, which are, by the way, repeated over and over and over again throughout the Quran in many contradictory information. But for now, let's look at that which is written in Quran chapter 14 and verse 5. For there we read, "And indeed we sent Moses with our signs that bring forth your people from the darkness to the light and remind them of Allah's days. Surely in this are signs to every patient thankful." Notice here, the verse of Allah is very clear that Allah sent Moses with signs. Nobody asked Moses to perform a sign. Allah did not hear some people begging Moses, "Please perform for us a sign." But Allah sent Moses with his signs. Now the rest of the story is wrong. Why? Because he did not bring his people from darkness to the light, but from Egypt to the promised land. And as Muhammad repeated the story so many times, he continued to contradict himself. But here we see that Allah also is telling Moses, that is Quran 14:5, "Surely in this are signs to every patient thankful." So the signs are given, and through the signs, the thankful one and the patient one will receive his light and his guidance. Obviously, the talk here is just simply blah, 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 without any information. So you can read the Quran and you will not understand what Allah is talking about. So let's move on to another verse. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 17, the chapter of our study, and in verse 101. For there we read, "And indeed we gave Moses 9 clear signs." So now we know how many signs were there. There are 9, and they are clear signs. So ask the children of Israel when he came to them. So Pharaoh said to him, "Surely, I think you are bewitched, O Moses." In verse 102, he said, that is Moses, "Indeed, you know that nothing of those sent down," we're talking about the 9 signs, "except from the Lord of the heavens and the earth as proof. And surely I think that you, O Pharaoh, are doomed." And the story goes on and on and on with many sentences back and forth between Moses and Pharaoh, and Pharaoh and Moses. And by the way, none of these sentences are true because Moses did not write any of it in the Bible. But here we see it from the Quran. There were clear 9 signs given by Allah to Moses to Pharaoh. Wow. Is this true? Now, did we read in the Quran that Pharaoh said to Moses, "Well, we will not believe in you, Moses, until you bring a sign or a miracle to prove to us"? No, 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 no. As we're going to continue to read in the Quran, these signs were given to Moses before even Moses was sent to Egypt as evidence or as proof that he is a true prophet from Allah, the God of the world, as Muhammad claimed in the Quran. Let me prove this to you by going together to Quran chapter 27, verses 7 to 12. For there we read, "When Moses said to his family, 'I have received a fire, I will bring you news from it, or I will bring you a blazing brand, perhaps you warm yourself.'" Obviously, the story in the Quran, a little bit short, missing so much information, but the story was about Moses going back to Egypt. He was actually going back to his family to check on his family. And while he was traveling, according to all Muslim scholars, he got lost because they were traveling at night. It was dark and it was cold. So somehow he saw fire from a distance. And that's when he said to his family, "Well, I go to check about the direction, how to get back to Egypt. Or perhaps I can bring you some of that fire so we can warm ourselves." Obviously, the story does not make any sense. Why? Because Moses, the 80 years old man, will not travel out of the land of Midian to Egypt at night, in a very cold winter night. That does not make any sense. But Continuing with the story, in verse 8 we read, so when he came to it, it here is the fire, he was called, blessed is he who is in the fire and those who surround it. Similar to the Bible? Yes, but it's still wrong. Why? Because the Bible does not say that at all. Here in the Quran, we read different words, different sentences, different information with many contradictions. Then we read, and praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world. Can you imagine? Allah in the Quran is saying, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world. If this is true, Allah would have said, praise to me, Yahweh. No, that is obviously, as I said, wrong information.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
In verse 9, O Moses, surely I am Allah, the dear, the wise. In verse 10, we read, and throw your rod down. So when he saw it shaking as though it were a jinn, he retreated backward and did not return. By the way, that is contradiction to other places in the Quran where we read the same story, but that's not the subject for our study for today. We're just looking at the miracles of Moses. As we continue, Allah said to Moses, O Moses, do not fear. Surely the messengers will not fear in my presence. In verse 11, except for those who did injustice, then changed, doing good after evil. So surely I am forgiving, merciful. In verse 12 we read, and enter your hand into your pocket. It will come forth white without evil, as one in 9 signs to Pharaoh and to his people. Surely they were a transgressing people. Did you notice here? The 9 signs were to be performed before Pharaoh, and Moses have not yet left the land of Midian to go and see Pharaoh. Obviously, as you continue to read the repeated story, it is loaded with many contradictions, which does not make any sense. But from here we learn that Allah sent Moses to Pharaoh with 9 signs. 2 of them were the rod turned to snake and his hand was white without any evil. Once again, we ask the question, did Pharaoh ask for any signs? No. Why did Allah give Moses these 9 signs to perform before Pharaoh? Because he wanted to prove to Pharaoh that Moses is a true prophet and a true messenger from Allah, the God of this world. Plenty of errors, plenty of contradictions, but we'll move on with our study as we look at that which is written in Quran chapter 7 and verse 133. For there we read, so we, that is Allah, sent on them, these are Pharaoh and his people, the tufan. The word tufan is actually the word deluge, which is non-Arabic word from Hebrew or Syriac origin. We're talking about the flood. Somehow, Muhammad was confused between Noah and Moses. Somehow, the flood came to Egypt. Continuing with the verse, and the locust, and the lice, and the frogs, and the blood expounded signs, so they became proud, and they were a criminal people. We're talking about five plagues. The first one is a wrong one. There was no flood in Egypt. The flood was in Noah's days. And Allah is telling us in the Quran that these nine signs, which were performed by Moses in front of Pharaoh, were clear signs. Somehow Pharaoh became proud and his people became proud and they did not believe in Allah, the God of this world. Someone would say, you see, that's why Allah did not send any miracles to Muhammad, because people will not believe in it. Whoa, hold your horses. You know why? Because all the Hebrews believed in Moses. Not only because the Bible said so, but because the Quran said so. Or you can tell me, why in the world did they follow him if they did not believe in him all the way from the land of Egypt to the promised land, which Muhammad called in the Quran the Holy Land? Not only all the Hebrews believed in Moses to be a true prophet because of these signs or these miracles, but even the sorcerers, those Egyptians who fall down and worshiped Allah and became Muslims. That is exactly what we read in Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 113. For there we read, and the sorcerers came to Pharaoh. They said, surely we will have a wage if we were the victors. Why is that? Because Pharaoh saw the miracles of Moses, the snake and his hand, which turned to white. And he gathered all his wise people and he said, what should we do? They said, well, let's bring our sorcerers. They can also do the same miracles which Moses performed. So now we continue in verse 114. He, that is Pharaoh, said, yes, and surely you will be of the near. In verse 115, we read, they said, oh, Moses, either you cast or we will be those who cast. Talking about casting sticks or casting robes or casting whatever different opinion given by so-called Muslim scholars. In verse 116, he, that is Moses, said, you cast. So when they cast, they bewitched the people's eyes and made them afraid. And they brought a great sorcery, meaning whatever they cast turned to snakes. In verse 117, we read, and we, that is Allah, revealed to Moses that cast your rod. So behold, it pecks what they fabricate. Meaning, the snake of Moses ate or swallowed all the snakes of the Egyptian sorcerers. In verse 118, so the truth was vindicated, and vain was what they were doing. In verse 119, so they were defeated thereupon, and they were turned away, humiliated. In 120, and the sorcerers fell down, worshiping. In the following verse, they said, we believed in the Lord of the world, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. In verse 123, Pharaoh said, have you believed in him before I give you permission? Surely this is a deception. You have deceived in the city so that you may get its people out of it. So you will know. By the way, in the Quran, the Egyptians were kicked out of Egypt. And Moses and his people took over the land of Egypt after the flood when all the Egyptians drowned. I'm telling you, any person who has some logic or common sense, when he reads the story of Moses in the Quran, he or she cannot help it but to laugh. Why? Because it is foolish to believe that the Quran is the perfect, clear word of Allah when it is full of errors and contradictions. Not only because it contradicts the Bible, but because the Quran contradicts the Quran. Finally, let me share with you one more miracle, and that is the miracle which Moses did with his people, the Hebrews, after they left Egypt. We read about the story in Quran chapter 2, beginning from verse 67. And in summary, it is about Allah asking the children of Israel to kill a cow. Not just any cow, but a specific cow. Even though Allah did not give any details exactly, just some hint of some information about that cow. Why were the children of Israel ordered by Allah to sacrifice a cow? That is what we read in verse 73. So we, that Allah said, strike him with a part of it. Likewise, Allah gives life to the dead and shows you his signs. Perhaps you may understand. What was the killing of the cow all about? Oh, it's about if somebody was murdered and they, the children of Israel, do not know who did it. And so they have to bring this specific cow, the bright yellow, and they sacrifice it. And then they will cut any portion of that cow and they will strike the dead body. That person who's dead will come back to life and he will tell the children of Israel who killed him. And then he will die again. And that is the miracle of all miracles. Obviously, it is a fabricated story by Muhammad because he does not know any truth about what the Bible is talking about. But here is the fact. Moses in the Quran performed miracles. Maybe Pharaoh and his leaders did not believe. But guess what? All the Hebrews believe, and many of the Egyptians, the sorcerers, the best of those who can do magic in Egypt, they all believed. And they became Muslims, worshiping Allah, the God of Moses. Why didn't Muhammad perform some similar miracles to his people? And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.